My name is Barbara Hulk. I'm a retired family practice physician. I want to share with you how CMDA has impacted my life and my practice. I first learned about CMDA when I was stationed in Germany and Dave Stevens became CEO. And I was very comforted to know that I wasn't alone as a Christian physician, and there was an organization that could stand behind me in many ways, in spiritual encouragement, personal growth, just you name it. Some of the things I took advantage of early on was saline solutions. Now you call that grace prescriptions. But that course not only taught me how to tell my personal testimony in a succinct way, it also taught me how to take a good spiritual history, to look for spiritual flags, and on occasion lead someone to the Lord. Been able to mentor medical students both in the state of Nevada and now in Utah, and it's always a joy to mentor someone behind you. Your position papers have helped me in a number of cases. In fact, the end of life position papers made a difference when it came to my own father with Alzheimer's. Finally, GHO, Global Health Outreach. I took my entire family 3 times to Zambia when they were young teens. And as a result, I think their faith in Christ has been solidified. I'm very confident my 3 sons will not abandon Jesus or walk away from their faith and some want to go into full-time ministry. I have a lifetime family friends now from Zambia who are in-country hosts. In summary, I would say that CMDA has allowed me to be a better, a stronger, and a more mature Christian. It's allowed me to live out my faith in all the spheres I circulate through. I'm thinking that it can do the same for you. Thanks for hearing from me. God bless.
Welcome to the last May episode of the CMDA Matters podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp. I hope that your Memorial Day celebration included the opportunity to honor the veterans in your life and in your church and community, and as well as maybe some of our military personnel who are serving currently. Well, prior to the holiday weekend, our CMDA senior staff participated in a thought-provoking webinar by Barna Research on how the church might just flourish in the midst of what some ministry leaders view as an interruption, but other prominent Christian ministry leaders see as a longer-lasting and maybe even permanent disruption due to the COVID-19 pandemic. One concept that I heard that really inspired me was that Barna President David McKenna challenged churches and Christian ministries like us at CMDA to doggedly keep caring for souls in this new ministry reality. Last week on CMDA Matters, Dr. Peter Saunders reminded us that we don't want to waste this crisis, but to actually lean into it. I'm hearing stories about how CMDA members are not just surviving, but making the most of every opportunity they have while bringing the hope and healing of Christ to patients and their families in the midst of these troubling times with God's help. Our program today fits well with that message. Longtime CMDA member and now CMDA Tennessee State Rep, Dr. Bill Geiger, tells us how he survived medical school and residency by reaching out to other Christians and the importance of those relationships in his walk with the Lord. His testimony actually reminds me of our CMDA founder, Dr. Kenneth Geiser's story, in which the discovery of fellowship with other Christians at Northwestern University School of Medicine in Chicago led to the launching of a small student Bible study and the birth of the Christian Medical Society in 1931. Information is now coming out on how COVID-19 has only added to an epidemic of loneliness and despair. I've heard from so many in quarantine, including some CMDA great leaders from our past who are now in retirement, about how hungry they are for in-person relationships, especially with other Christ followers in healthcare. Dr. Geiger felt prompted by the Spirit of Christ to start a new and now thriving CMDA chapter in Knoxville, Tennessee, after 28 years in academic medicine. He had a track record of student ministry with CMDA as a faculty advisor in Toledo, Milwaukee, and Columbus, Ohio. I want you to hear Dr. Geiger's testimony, and I pray it will encourage many of you who are listening and possibly wondering what God has for you next, especially when the COVID-19 restrictions begin to fade away and be lifted. Maybe God could use you to replicate what Bill has been doing among the healthcare professionals in your community. Well, I told Bill that God gave him a wonderful bass voice, a voice we recorded right here in our studio in Bristol, Tennessee. Let's jump into my interview with Dr. Bill Geiger. I have the wonderful privilege today of having here with me in the studio for the program for CMDA Matters, Dr. Bill Geiger. Bill and his wife, Lynn, drove up from Knoxville to visit our headquarters and to share with all of you about ministry that he has seen God helping him to build in the greater Knoxville area. So, Dr. Geiger, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Mike. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you have a long history, along a medical career in family medicine, and I would just like you to tell us today, give us a synopsis of your career that would help us to understand why now the ministry that you're currently pursuing in retirement makes so much sense.
It all started when I started medical school. I had come to know the Lord only 2 years before that. And when I started medical school, I didn't know another Christian on the medical campus at all. No professors, no students. Because I had done undergraduate school at the same institution, Ohio State, I continued that first year of medical school getting my fellowship with the Campus Crusade group that was there, which is how I met the Lord. But the more I spent time there, the more I felt like a fish out of water. The other students didn't understand all the stresses I had as a medical student, and I just felt like I was in a professional school and I couldn't be involved in some of the social activities that they were part of just because of time. Mm-hmm. And that first year of medical school was the loneliest year of my life.
Wow.
I really went through a period there wondering even if God wanted me in medicine. He answered affirmatively very clearly after that first year of medical school. But in the second year of medical school, I began praying for another Christian that I could have fellowship with at the medical college. Shortly thereafter, I met a man who was in the first year class just starting medical school. And I suggested, let's go to dinner. And that ended up every Friday night. We'd meet for dinner, talk about our experiences, pray, talk about our relationship with the Lord. By about halfway through that first year, a third guy joined us. And at the end of that first year, we had four of us for dinner every Friday night. We decided that the next year we were going to move our time together at noon and see if there were some other people that could become involved. And in that third year, we found a couple of faculty members that were Christians. And that experience cemented two things in my mind. First of all, the importance of peer fellowship. Those that are going through the same things you do. I think it's especially important in our profession as physicians to have that. But it was vital in medical school for me to continue walking with the Lord in a vibrant way. And the other is role models. Medical students really need role models out there of how they integrate their faith into their practice. And those two things I learned way back then. So when I graduated from medical school, we had about 40 people every noon, I believe it was on Thursdays, with this group. And we knew nothing about, would have been CMS in those days, Christian Medical Society. We didn't know anything about that, but the group just kept going. But when I graduated, I found a few residents who were Christians at the hospital where I trained, and that carried on. And I made a commitment to the Lord that if I ever had opportunities to encourage medical students in their walk with the Lord, I want to do that because I had that experience that first year of being so lonely and out of fellowship. So it started a long time ago. And as I said, it was before I knew anything about CMDA. I joined CMDA when I was in residency. And I then spent a couple years in the Navy in Memphis, Tennessee, then started a private practice in Mansfield, Ohio. And several medical students rotated with me in that private practice, and I just really enjoyed – several of them were Christians, and I really enjoyed that experience. Then through some other circumstances, the teaching bug bit me, and I took a job in a – as a faculty in a family medicine residency in Toledo, Ohio. And it was a couple years there, I was invited to be the advisor of the student group at what was the Medical College of Ohio, now the University of Toledo Medical School. I just really enjoyed interacting with their students. They asked me to speak at a retreat that they had one fall weekend, and I really enjoyed that. I kept up – I still have relationships with a couple of those students from Toledo that were a part of that group when I was their advisor. Then I took a job in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Medical College of Wisconsin. And one of the first things I did after I got acclimated there, I found the advisor of the student group, asked him if he needed help. And he said, boy, I sure do. And so I spent probably 12 of the 13 years in Milwaukee advising that group. And we have some students that we're One young woman is on the mission field in Cameroon and Uganda and Kenya, who is president of that group. And they're like an extra son and daughter for us. Our relationship has been so close. The same thing happened when we moved from Milwaukee to Columbus. I thought, well, this will be great. I'll get back involved with the group that I helped start at Ohio State. But God closed the door on that, interestingly, and I began to really wonder, what do you want me doing here? Well, at that point, a new medical school started, a branch of Ohio University College of Osteopathic Medicine, and one of their first-year students contacted me and said, hey, we need an advisor to get this chapter started. Would you do that? And, oh, man, that was likewise a very encouraging experience. We lived there in the Columbus area for 5 years, and then I retired. Now, the retirement story goes back to when I was 60. My wife started bugging me about, where are we going to live when we retire? Mm-hmm. We eventually landed in by buying a lot in East Tennessee, where we eventually built a house to retire. But we also talked about, what are we going to do in retirement?
Long list of potential travel sites and all sorts of activities. Your wife, Lynn, did she bring up some possibilities or no, that wasn't on the radar?
Yes, we talked about a lot of things. We talked to some people about what retirement for a physician would be like. In fact, one of the faculty at the residency I trained wrote a book about physician retirement, and something really jumped out at me in that book. He said, physicians plan every segment of their career except retirement. And many of them, for many reasons, therefore don't enjoy retirement because they haven't really thought about it, and they get there and they don't know what to do, and they've never made plans. And so Lynn and I began, what do we want to do in retirement?
How early did you start your planning? At what stage was this, Bill?
This was between 60 and 62. Okay. And I bought a lot of books on retirement. And the more I read in those books, the more confused I got. And I sat down one day with one of my spiritual mentors and talking to him. He was retired and he knew me really well. And he had a ministry himself with physicians. One thing that startled me as we were talking about this, he said, retirement is not scriptural. Slowing down, enjoying the fruit of your labors, that's fine. But don't forget, there's no retiring from the Great Commission. That's a lifetime call. And that got me really thinking. And the more I talked to him, I said, well, what do you think retirement for a doctor would look like? And he said, what have you been doing for the last 20 years? Whose lives have you been impacting? And all these medical students that mm-hmm. are now still close friends, he said, keep doing that. You've got those relationships built up. God will bring other students, other physicians into your life, and focus on ministering to physicians. And so that's what I'd hoped would happen. And about a year before we retired and moved down here to Tennessee, I contacted the CMDA office. And, you know, with Knoxville being so close to Bristol, I thought, oh, they've got to have a vibrant group in Knoxville. Everybody said, nothing. There hasn't been anything in Knoxville for years. And I scratched my head and said, how can that be?
Well, I'll just tell you a quick story, an anecdote about Knoxville, because Dr. Gene Rudd, who was our senior vice president working with Dr. David Stevens, told me that several attempts, it wasn't for a lack of trying. And in fact, on one occasion, he went down to speak for a group in Knoxville, and there was a grand total of one person who showed up for his talk on whatever the subject was. So it was just a little bit discouraging. So I think that makes the story for you, Dr. Geiger, so remarkable.
Right. I really didn't know from talking to the person who was the Southeast Regional Director and others, there was only one doctor that I got a name for in Knoxville. And one of the times we were down making plans on building our home, he invited us to their home, and I asked him what was going on, and he said, well, I don't know. He said, it hasn't worked. And I think part of it is there's no medical school in Knoxville, and there are a lot of Christian docs. We just can't get them together.
Mm-hmm. They're busy.
Busy guys. So I said, okay. I didn't give up on that, but I did go back to the Lord and say, well, Lord, we're at a change point in our life. Maybe you don't want me working with docs. Maybe there's something else. Maybe I'll be working with people in our community or something in our church or something else. Maybe volunteering with a charitable organization in Knoxville. And so I opened my hands and I gave it to God. And I said, God, if you want me to be ministering to doctors in Knoxville, you're going to have to bring those doctors to me. Well, about a week later, my wife got an email from a friend of hers who was in our wedding that lives in Knoxville, and she had asked her to recommend some churches. So she looked on these websites, and she came to me and she said, honey, there's a side-by-side ministry at this church that her friend had recommended. Oh, wow, really? And there was a phone number attached to it. So on one of my days off, I just picked up the phone, called the phone number, expect to get the church office or something like that. I got the woman who organized that whole ministry in Knoxville, and I spent about an hour on the phone telling her what I just told you about my story and what's going on in Knoxville. And she said, well, I don't know that very much is going on for the docs, but my husband and I would love to talk to you one time when we were down here. So we went to dinner with them, and we just hit it off real well. So I just gradually began getting a few names here and there. And by a year ago this past Christmas, I had six names of Christian doctors that I had on my email list. Actually, this was the 1st of December. And I just prayed, Lord, we need a few more. And that was where God really stepped in. By January 1st, I had 16 names.
Wow.
And I said, we're ready to go. These were all people that had said, well, yeah, you want to get something going.
These are all practicing docs,
yeah,
Bill.
They all were. And Grant Hewitt, the current Southeast Regional Director, gave me two names of guys that he had met. I had breakfast with them, and we also hit it off real well. I said, guys, I'm retired. I have time to invest in getting a group going here in Knoxville. You guys know the territory. You can help me avoid stepping on any landmines or things like that. I'll do the administrative work getting this thing going, and you guys just uphold my hands as we do that. And they really became prayer partners in this. I contacted Bill Reichert here at headquarters, and we got going actually a year ago this month. Mm-hmm. We had 15 at our first meeting. Bill came down and he shared about what, in his experience, a good community chapter does. And the best piece of advice he ever gave us was, spend your first few meetings majoring on prayer.
Amen, yes.
Which is exactly what we did. Now, Mike, I have 63 names on my email listserv for people interested in our group. Now, not all of them have come, but they want to get messages about it. The group has just gelled. We've formed a real community caring for each other. Some of our people have had surgery or sick or something like that, and they take meals into them and things like that. But the biggest thing is we really pray for each other and uphold our needs. We're involved now. Each month we go through a chapter of Practice by the Book.
Mm-hmm.
And God brought a medical school to Knoxville.
Tell us how that opportunity opened up, because clearly God did a work to open up your ministry to graduate doctors and their spouses. But I wondered now how the student ministry, Bill came back from that meeting that you described, Bill Reichert, and was just, Mike, it was sort of desolate in Knoxville, but now there's streams in the desert ministry-wise.
Yes. Well, again, I have to give some credit to Grant Hewitt on this, because he sent me an email with a name of a young man that I think he met in Louisville at the missions conference there. And he said, this guy's going to be a first-year student at the new Lincoln Memorial University College of Osteopathic Medicine that is starting in Knoxville. It's a branch of their campus up in Harrogate that they're starting in July. So I contacted this young man right away. He is a veteran, and while he was in the service, he got a real burden for becoming a doctor and ministering to Muslims through healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in Afghanistan, I'm not sure, but he and I got together and we began to pray, and we're on the verge of getting a chapter started there. They're working on their paperwork right now. We had 7 medical students at our meeting this week on Tuesday night.
Tell us again the name of the school. The name of the
Lincoln
school.
Lincoln Memorial University DeBusk College of Osteopathic Medicine in Knoxville.
So fairly a brand new medical school.
Branch, actually, of the osteopathic medical school in Harrogate that Lincoln Memorial University has.
Yeah.
Our graduate group has taken like 3 different lunches out there at the end of last year for the students. You know, food always brings students in.
It always does.
And these students are really excited about getting things going there and becoming an official chapter. And several of us want to be active advising them and mentoring them. And a couple of the graduate members of our group have already had these students over to their home and just talking to them about how to be effective studying and that sort of thing, time management.
What a difference in onboarding, Bill, from your own experience at Ohio State. You know, just looking for any Christians and trying to figure out as a new believer, fellowship with other believers, and yet onboarding for these students is just so much more easy.
Yes.
And attractive.
Yes, and that's exactly what we wanted to do. We decided at our second meeting last year, we came up with 3 points to a mission statement for our group. The first one is to provide community for physicians, dentists, other healthcare workers who want to be a part of it. Secondly is to mentor medical students and other learners. And third is to reach out to those who are not yet Christians in the healthcare community. And we've arranged an event next fall to do that with Steve Sartori is coming to talk to the group. And we're just thrilled with what God is doing.
Well, I had a chance to meet your wife, Lynn, your soulmate, and the two of you are of one heart and mind, it seems, because she's also discovered a different ministry at this stage. Just tell us briefly about her, Lynn's ministry.
Lynn has always been a challenge to me in terms of her walk with God. I think I've learned more from her spiritually than anybody else. But she said when she retired, when we moved to Columbus, she said, I want to disciple women. I've done that all my life. Since I love sports, I'd like to disciple college athletes, female college athletes. And so she contacted Athletes in Action, and boy, they jumped at having a volunteer come on, and she worked 4 years in Columbus at two different smaller schools, working with the women athletes at those schools. And now she's working at the University of Tennessee with the female athletes there.
Awesome.
So in essence, we're doing the same thing in different venues. My heart is to minister and disciple docs and medical students, and hers is to minister to athletes at the college level.
Has there been any time you're like, wow, this is just becoming too much? We're getting so involved, we're not having a chance to enjoy this retirement. Have you experienced that?
Not yet. The fulfillment of working in something God has called you to is so much better. We early on, we took our mentor's advice that we were going to invest in eternal things. There are only two eternal things in this world, God's word and people. And we wanted to continue our commitment to daily scripture reading, Bible studies, meditation, all of those kinds of things. But we also wanted to invest in people. And life on life discipleship is what we grew the fastest, and that's what we've been doing, me with docs and medical students and Lynn with athletes. Our commitment is that because God has called us to that. Yes, I think in retirement there needs to be a balance between recreation and relaxation. But you know, I think the balance is a key word there. I want my focus in retirement not to be golfing every day or
fishing.
Fishing, boating, those kinds of things, or even travel, which Lynn and I really love and want to do a lot of. Our focus has to be on those eternal things, then balanced with, as I said, the relaxation and the recreation. Nothing wrong with golfing or boating or fishing or any of those things. I enjoy things like that. But it's a matter of balance and not wanting to retire from the Great Commission.
Wow, amen. Thank you for joining me today. And for our listeners, I'm sure they've appreciated hearing your testimony on CMDA Matters.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm very honored.
I'm sure you heard in Dr. Geiger's testimony that he and his wife, Lynn, have discovered a blessed balance during retirement between their kingdom work, encouraging Christians in healthcare, and for Lynn, his wife, in sports ministry, while thoroughly enjoying this new season in life together. Praise God that CMDA campus and community ministries have grown big time from those days when Bill was a student in 1970, as we are now on 325 healthcare campuses and 93 community graduate groups. You also heard from Bill how strategic the side-by-side ministry with non-medical spouses was for Bill and Lynn to launch the new Knoxville ministry with physicians and dentists and medical students. There are now side-by-side groups in more than 90 communities all across the United States. So while Bill Geiger didn't know about CMDA during his years at The Ohio State University School of Medicine, most medical dental students have access now to a CMDA group on their campus in the coming academic year. Praise God. If you'd like to learn more about our campus and community ministries, just go to our webpage, cmda.org, and the drop-down menu under What We Do, with a list of ministries including student, community grad ministries, side-by-side ministries, and many others. Well, if you're retired, having just heard Bill Geiger's testimony, or you're looking to retire in the near future, we have a ministry we are calling Encore. The purpose of Encore is to encourage and equip those of you who are planning for or have just entered retirement after healthcare careers to discover fulfilling kingdom service, just like Bill and Lynn Geiger have. Encore is led by my good friend and mentor, Dr. Gene Rudd,
who was our senior vice president at CMDA for 25 years. And he will help connect you to one of many CMDA opportunities, including mentoring, service, teaching, leadership, being a state rep like Bill Geiger is, and many other open doors to you for service. You can find out more by going to cmda.org/encore. Our Life and Health bookstore has a couple of resources that you can purchase. One of those, An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, Finding God's Purpose for the Next Season of Life, and that's by Jeff Hanen, who was my guest on CMDA Matters a few weeks ago. Another resource I'd recommend is the newest book by Mr. Oz Guinness, entitled Carpe Diem Redeemed, Seizing the Day, Discerning the Times. Oz put this book out last year, and in fact, in just a few weeks, he's going to be my guest on CMDA Matters, and we're going to talk about this book. But I do want to recommend it to you. Fantastic book, challenging us about God's call and redeeming the time we have. You can get both of these resources by going to cmda.org/shop or call us toll-free at 888-230-2637, and one of our staff will get one or both of these resources to you in the mail right away. Well, last week, Dr. Peter Saunders was my guest, and he told us about a great webinar series hosted by our global partner, ICMDA. Two of my past guests on CMDA Matters, Drs. David and Janet Kim, the co-founders of Beacon Christian Community Health Center there in Staten Island, New York, will be providing one of these webinars for ICMDA on Monday, June 8th from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. They will be discussing building spiritual resilience with COVID-19, lessons from New York City. You can participate yourself in that webinar by going online to icmda.net/training/webinars. They are free to join. You will just need to register in advance. You may know that our CMDA Washington office impacts laws and regulations and litigation here in the United States. What you may not know is that our Washington office ministry is also impacting healthcare policy around the world. For example, Ambassador Deborah Birx, a physician who's now serving, and you may have seen her on national news because she's on the White House Coronavirus Task Force. She has also helped lead our nation's fight against AIDS as the U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator under Presidents Obama and Trump. During her presentation on AIDS at a multinational summit held at the U.S. State Department, Dr. Birx held up a survey that we had performed through CMDA, compiling responses from our medical missionaries around the globe. The survey evaluated the extent of and potential for partnerships between the United States government and faith-based organizations working overseas. Dr. Birx cited our survey statistics that showed a lamentable lack of communication between government and many faith-based organizations working overseas. She concluded that the United States government really needs to do a better job partnering with faith-based organizations. We're launching another international survey right now on women's global health and the importance of conscience and life issues for faith-based health professionals working overseas. Please pray with us for the impact of this survey and for our faithful use of the tremendous opportunities that God provides to influence government policy, not only here in the U.S., but also around the world. Thank you also for your partnership that makes this influence possible. I'd like to finish the podcast today by sharing with you some powerful truths from the wise King Solomon in Proverbs chapter 16, the first three verses, where Solomon tells us, "We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives." Brothers and sisters, commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Isn't that an amazing promise? That if you will commit your retirement or upcoming medical school or upcoming residency, now that you've finished medical school, commit those actions to the Lord, trust Him, and He will make your plans
succeed. Hang on to that from Proverbs 16:3. Thank you for joining me today. Next week, I will be joined by Dr. Chris Hook of the Mayo Clinic, who, together with a group of highly committed and experienced bioethicists, spearheaded our efforts to draft public policy statements to help Christian healthcare professionals like you on the front lines in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, until then, please be assured that what matters to you matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. We'll see you next week, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.